Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Save up to $450 on a Gibson Les Paul Studio Deluxe, up to $900 on a Gibson Les Paul Trad Pro 4, or save up to 20% on other select Gibson guitars. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You're listening to Locked On Pistons, your daily Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Duncan Smith. You can follow me on Twitter at DuncanSmithNBA, and you can find my work on PistonPower.com. We are just hours away from the start of free agency. It is Friday, June 30th, and at midnight tonight, free agents around the NBA will begin signing contracts with new teams and with incumbent teams. We've already had a deal or two today. As of the recording of this podcast, the Minnesota Timberwolves have sent Ricky Rubio to the Utah Jazz for a first-round draft pick, and the Chicago Bulls have waived Rajon Rondo to save $10 million before the end of the day today. So we've already got a bit of a shifting landscape around the NBA. Jeff Teague is expected to sign with the Minnesota Timberwolves in free agency. And so that's another piece departing the Indiana Pacers. While nothing has left the Pacers yet, it's very likely that Paul George will be moved. And in addition to the Bulls trading away Jimmy Butler on the night of the draft, the Central Division is definitely in the process of shedding talent, it seems. So we've got some exciting times right around the corner. As for the Pistons, there will likely not be a whole lot of action for them this evening. Piston free agents are Aaron Baines, Bano Udrih, Reggie Bullock, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Aaron Baines has a cap hold of almost $10 million. He's likely to be renounced. The Pistons are probably going to want to spend less than what he'll command on the open market to address their backup or third center situation. Bano Udrih will probably be renounced. The Pistons can probably find somebody a bit younger to fill that third point guard role. They might be able to find somebody for the same minimum salary as well. Reggie Bullock has not been extended his $5.6 million qualifying offer. That means that the Pistons will likely not make him a restricted free agent. They have to extend that qualifying offer in order to make him a restricted free agent. Most likely Reggie Bullock will be renounced as well. KCP has been extended his $9.2 million qualifying offer. That's going to make him a restricted free agent at midnight tonight. While the Nets have already been in the open market, they've been in the trade market acquiring D'Angelo Russell from the Lakers just before the draft. They still have interest in signing KCP, among other restricted free agents primarily. According to Mark Stein, he tweeted earlier today, league sources, Wizards, Otto Porter, and Pistons, KCP, bracing for rich Brooklyn interest in their respective restricted free agent studs. So it certainly looks like the Nets are still coming. They've got max space, and they're a team that can definitely use young talent. Whatever you say about KCP, if you're a team that has cap space to burn and a dearth of talent, Caldwell Pope is definitely a guy that can fill a need there. So that's pretty much what we can expect from the Pistons' current free agents. Their main concerns going forward are to get a cheap third-string center, most likely to serve behind Boban Marjanovic, who will be the prohibitive favorite to be the backup center behind Andre Drummond. And they also want to get a cheap third-string point guard, which will probably not be Bano Udrih. The Pistons will likely thank him for his service and look elsewhere. So those are going to be the two main things that the Pistons will be looking for in free agency. and that will probably come not tonight. It'll probably come down the road as cheaper contracts become a more common percentage of the contracts that get signed. So you'll see the Stars and mid-level guys probably moving in the next 24 hours or so, and then we'll see who drops down to the cheaper realm. The Pistons can use the mid-level exception. That'll be up to $8.4 million. This is something we broke down yesterday, but just as a quick refresher. They can also use the biannual exception, but if they use that, it's about just shy of $3.3 million. If they use that, the luxury tax apron, which is $125 million this season, effectively becomes a hard cap. So the Pistons will want to avoid getting themselves hard capped for sure. So the BIE is something that they may choose to avoid, and they'll rely more heavily on some portion of the mid-level exception and veteran minimum contracts, which is, again, probably how they're going to fill out the center and point guard situations. We kicked off this week the Five Star Friday. It's something that it helps me out, and hopefully it gives you guys something that you'll enjoy. What it is, and this is going to be continuing on for each Friday going forward. We've already got one vote in the books for next Friday. What this is if you guys give a 5-star review, put a Piston player, whether it be current or former Piston, put their name in the 5-star review, and then each week on Friday, whoever has the most 5-star names, that guy is going to get a breakdown and a review on Fridays. So we've got one right off the bat. The winner of this week's 5-star review, or 5-star Friday, perhaps no more fitting way to kick this off, is Chauncey Billups. Chauncey Billups is our nominee for this week's 5-star Friday. You know, Chauncey was a Piston legend, without a doubt. He was a journeyman who bounced from Boston, where they gave up on him by the All-Star break after just 51 games, to the Toronto Raptors, who didn't retain him after his rookie season. To Denver, where he played just 58 games between 1998 and 2000. He came into his own in Minnesota with Flip Saunders, who definitely became a huge influence in his career, and somebody that Piston fans and Minnesota fans alike will remember fondly for years to come, forever. Flip Saunders is a Piston legend and a Minnesota legend alike. So he came into his own in Minnesota under Flip Saunders, but then he became a star and a Piston legend starting in 2003. He was signed in free agency. He might be the most successful free agent signing in Piston history, certainly in the last couple decades. Chauncey had one of the best nicknames in all of sports, Mr. Big Shot. That nickname was born when he hit a game-winning overtime shot against the Atlanta Hawks in March of 2003. Rick Mahorn, Pistons champion himself and radio commentator, bestowed that name on him after hitting that shot. And that moniker went league-wide after he hit a long three in Game 5 of the 2004 Conference Finals against the New Jersey Nets to send that game to overtime. The Pistons lost that game, but they won the championship that year, and that nickname stuck for the rest of his career. Now, the Big Shot moniker, the Mr. Big Shot moniker, has been debated over the years. According to 82games.com, he was just 6-for-37 between 2003 and 2009 in game-winning shots. You know, that sounds damning, to the point where some considered that title might be undeserved. Now, if you want to boil Chauncey's clutchness down to an average of 5 shots per season for 7 years, so be it. But on a grander scale, maybe nobody was more clutch over those years. If we break this down into clutch situations, clutch games, which is defined as ahead or behind by 5 points with 5 minutes or less to go in the fourth quarter or overtime, If we go year by year, in 2003, Chauncey had a 60.1% true shooting rate, and he turned the ball over just 5.8% of the time. He had a net rating, which is the difference between points scored and allowed over 100 possessions, of plus 18.8, which is fantastic. The Pistons went 22-14 in those games. In 2003-2004, his true shooting percentage was 57.1. He turned it over just 7% of the time. His net rating was plus 7.6, and the Pistons went 24-19 in clutch games. Of course, they won the title that year. This was 2003-2004. In 2004-2005, his true shooting was 62.4%. His net rating was plus 7.8, and the Pistons went 24-14. In 2005-2006, Billups had the best true shooting percentage of anybody who had a usage over 20%, and his was usually like 30% or more in these clutch situations. He was the man with the ball in his hands. He was the conductor of the Pistons' offense. So in 2005-2006, he had a true shooting percentage of 65.2%, turned it over just 6% of the time, had a net rating of plus 18.4, and the Pistons went 27-10 in clutch situations, which is unbelievable. In 2006-2007, the first year without Ben Wallace, he had a true shooting percentage of 61.6%, turned it over just 3% of the time, which is, again, completely unbelievable, had a plus 23.2 net rating, and the Pistons went 28-16. So whether he hit a high percentage of these end-of-game situations, you know, which happens once every 16 games for three quarters of a decade, you know, if that's where people want to rest their entire definition of a guy who can hit big shots, that's their choice, but there was nobody more clutch in Pistons lore than Chauncey Billups. He was traded for Allen Iverson in 2008, and he continued to thrive alongside Carmelo Anthony in Denver. He was traded to the New York Knicks with Carmelo at the 2011 trade deadline, and he played 42 games with the Clippers between 2011 and 2013 before playing his final season with the Pistons in 2013-2014. Now you can see him. You can see him during the playoffs and during the season on ESPN. In the studio, and he currently has a job offer with the Cleveland Cavaliers to be their president of basketball operations. We don't know if he's going to accept it or not. We will have to wait and see, like the rest of the NBA world. But if he does take it, there's no doubt that he's going to be an excellent president of basketball operations and an excellent basketball executive. So hopefully you guys enjoy this breakdown. I'll be doing these every week if the demand is there, and I hope it is. I certainly enjoyed doing the prep for this and getting to take a look back at the guy who is my own favorite player as well. Chauncey is unmatched as far as my all-time favorites. So this was an absolute delight, and I hope you guys enjoyed this as well. As always, feedback is most appreciated, and I look forward to hearing from you guys about this. Finally, speaking of Piston legends, Rip Hamilton has been getting a lot of love from the big three guys, the guys who are former NBA players who are currently playing in the big three, three-on-three league. My friends Josh Eberle and Oliver Maroney are hosting the Big Three podcast, the official Big Three podcast, and they've had a couple guys in just raving about Rip Hamilton of late. First off, I recommend you go subscribe and listen to the Big Three show if you want to get caught up on what's happening with the Big Three League. So Josh and Oliver had the chance to talk to both Mo Evans and Bonzi Wells about some of the best players that they've had a chance to play with, or, you know, the hardest guy to guard. Mo, of course, Mo Evans, former Piston, said that I got a chance to play with some really great guys. Like, Rip Hamilton was the best I've ever seen at moving without the ball. The way he could just light up a scoreboard and do it so effortlessly was something that was just, man. And that's true about Rip. He was always running around screens. He was one of, along with Reggie Miller, just one of the prototypical guys at using screens so creatively and just wearing his defender out. Bonzi Wells was asked about the hardest guy to guard over his time in the league. And in response, he said, "You know what? People ask me that question a lot. It surprises them when I tell them a guy like Rip Hamilton. Those are the guys you hate to guard. It's easy to be on an island with a guy and take away his best move and all that stuff. That's easy. But when you got a guy that's putting you through a figure eight, through big 6'10 guys coming off screens and they elbow you, shoulder check you, and hip check you, those are the hardest guys to guard because they never stop moving." And that was Rip. He was always in motion, always tearing around screens. And it's nice to see him getting some recognition from some former players who are, to some degree, getting a spotlight of their own. So nice to see Rip Hamilton getting some love. With that, that's about all we've got for this week. And unless something big develops over the course of the weekend, in which case I'll be back sooner for an emergency podcast, we will speak next on Monday. And we may have some news around the league to cover. We'll also have some summer league stuff to go over because that gets kicked off tomorrow as well at 5 p.m. The Pistons summer league team will play the Oklahoma City Thunder summer league team. So it's been a great week here on Locked On Pistons, and I am ever so grateful for the time you've spent listening to the podcast. And we'll talk to you then. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.